Good morning. Thanks for listening to Local Matters. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I have Wendy Williams in today, owner of Club Temptation. I'm glad to have you here. So tell me what Club Temptation is.
Okay, for those of you that are in the Upper Cumberland area, Club Temptation is the only LGBT bar here in Cookeville, and I've owned it for 5 years. But when I say LGBT bar, it's probably predominantly more quote straight right now. It seems to be our demographic coming in, so it's pretty much a bar for anyone. We have we have drag shows on Fridays and Saturdays. We have bingo on Thursdays, and then we just have a dance night on Sundays. We have drag brunches every other month, so it's just pretty much a bar, but just some extra fun activities that you wouldn't find here in Cookeville.
So what made you decide to be a bar owner?
Well, there's always been a history all the way going back to Forbidden, an LGBT bar in Cookeville. I don't think most people know that. And I was coming here as a guest for another bar that used to be here. There used to be two, called Off Broad. And I had a family member that lived here, and I was living in Kentucky. I just moved back from Los Angeles, and the opportunity kind of fell in my lap, and I took it and been here ever since.
So have you always thought that you would be a business owner, or did you have other plans?
I've always had a business in some way. I graduated from Eastern Kentucky University forever ago with a degree in communications, and thought I was going to go into marketing or PR or something like that. So that was my passion. I went into some forms of public relations and moved to Los Angeles, and then ended back up back to Kentucky. They always say you end up back in your roots at
some
point.
That seems like a big transfer from Kentucky to LA.
Yeah, I just missed being close to the mountains and being home.
Well, how was even the transition to get to LA? Like, how was that shell shock to you? Or
no, because I call myself a gypsy when it comes to, I get really bored with, I enjoy being single and having a single life where I can just go. So I was living in Pompano Beach, Florida. I went from Kentucky to Florida, from Florida to LA, LA, back to Kentucky, and now in Tennessee. So I've enjoyed all aspects of my different aspects of career. So publicity is what I was into. I've always worked in bars for 25 years. So owning one doesn't come as shock because I've been working in them for 25 years.
I would say that the first thought that comes into my mind to own a bar, period, in the Bible Belt seems a little difficult. Seems like you might be fighting some uphill battles. Has that been the case for you in the past few years?
So what I'm going to say is very shocking. As a trans woman living in Cookeville, many times people will say to me, you're in Cookeville. And it's actually completely different than what people think. I live as normal as life as you can, as anyone owning a bar, period, any bar. No problems. I keep to myself. We don't, I do live in the Bible Belt, and I'm very familiar with that. I talk about this a lot on different interviews I've talked about, is that you learn the battles that you want to choose to fight and the ones that are not. And my bar is located off 70. It's away from downtown. We have no problems there. I always tell people at the beginning of the night when we start our shows, I always say, once you come through Temptation's doors, we leave all politics, all gender, all anything noise of going on in your life, you leave it. We're just there to have a good time. I don't care about your race, your sexuality, your politics, none of that. We leave that at the door. And if you have a problem with it, then they can, there's other bars in Cookeville that would love to have their business. But we're just a bar to have a good time. And honestly, people don't really... Honestly, the majority of people really don't have a hang up on it. And if they do, I don't hear about it. But I mean,
have you had to try and build up the business? Like you said, you came in about 5 years ago and it was an existing club at that time.
It was.
But kind of on its deathbed.
Yes. So here's the thing is, the old owner, who has been an LGBT established person in the community for many, many years, had just got tired of the battles of fighting. I mean, there is. Now, listen, I'm not saying that everything is rosy here in Cookeville and people, throw out red petals for me when I, when I go anywhere. That's not the case. you know, I fight for every bit of attention that my bar gets, whether it's interviews like this, which thank you for having me, because in the past, other interviews have always said to me, oh, we'll have you during Pride Month. And that's a slap in my face, because I am a independent woman owning a business, and my business doesn't just happen in June during Pride Month. Mm-hmm. So there has been a lot of uphill battles, because when you, again, like I said earlier, when you choose to pick and choose your battles, you also give up a lot of marketing and publicity. You know, would I like to have billboards all over Cookeville? I would love to, but do I think that would cause unnecessary moments for my bar? Maybe so. So you just learn to use social media to your advantage and word of mouth. And honestly, to tell you, so many people come in and experience and then go, this is definitely not what I was thinking. I'm like, no, it's not. You know, there's not people running around half naked and, you know, everything, all the stigmas of what you think, throw it out. It's literally just a country bar with two pool tables, a drag show. It's 5,000 square feet. You know, we've got tables and chairs. It's really a nice place.
There's not a lot of places to dance in this area. And so, you know, having a Sunday night, you know, place to dance, I'm sure that that's where people want to be, is that they just want to be able to kind of shake it a little bit. I know myself, I kind of feel that way sometimes. It's like, well, sometimes you just need to let loose.
Well, we have a specific demographic too. I mean, a lot of the younger kids will come out on Friday nights, that way they can dance and then mm-hmm. watch the shows and stuff. But mostly, I mean, I'm in my late 40s, so we have a majority of, I would say, 30-ish over, because they don't want to go to other bars with mm-hmm. kids and fight with that. And they can bring their husbands in. The husbands can play pool. They can go in the showroom, sit down, have a drink, watch the show, have a good time, and then leave and not worry about, you know, all the noise that comes with a younger crowd. Nothing wrong with that, but that's just not, you're not going to get that at my bar.
In case you're just joining us, we have Wendy Williams, owner of Club Temptation, in today. So you've always kind of been in marketing. So what specifically in the past 5 years what do you think has kind of turned a corner of breathing life into this, you know, business that you're running?
I think it's the amount of social media platforms that have arisen, whether it's Snapchat, TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, MySpace, you know, any of those platforms have given free advertising. I mean, obviously you can use ads. I use Facebook ads consistently to advertise, especially for the brunches and special events like our New Year's party that we have every year, which is literally, I'm not bragging, it's one of the biggest parties Cookeville ever sees. I just saw people, I mean, it's really nice. We have a good time. The Halloween party, you know, everybody has great Halloween parties. Social media has changed it because it gives you an avenue to reach people that you normally wouldn't. So you have your, here in Cookeville, I'm only speaking for Cookeville, you'll have an individual that probably didn't know that we had an LGBT bar, or just a bar. Let's just call it a bar, because I think then people have a misconception that they're not allowed if you don't fall right under the umbrella, and that's not the case.
And it is, it's a dance club that has some shows.
Right.
And it is a little bit, you ask people to have an open mind, but it's a lot, you know, it's for everyone.
For everyone. And I think we change a lot of minds. I mean, we just had Saturday night, a couple come in and she just kept saying to me, oh, I had to fight to get my husband in here. And I'm thinking, I don't want to really hear you say that. It makes right. it feel like there's something wrong. And then by the end of the night, he was probably having more fun than she was.
Yeah.
I always tell guys when they come in there, if you're getting hit on, then take that as a compliment that you're not ugly.
Yeah.
Just take the free drink and then go on with your wife and call it a day.
Right.
It's just a good place to have a good time. If you want to dance, then dance a little bit. If you want to sit and have a couple of drinks, have a couple of drinks. If you want to play pool, play pool. If you want to go on the patio, go on the patio.
Well, and I think one thing that I like to do in certain situations, if I'm going to go out, I do like to people watch and just enjoy the different types of people and no matter where I'm at and the music that's going on. And so I'm sure that you have a lot of different varieties of types of people that come in.
It's interesting.
And I think that would, you know, even if you just want to come in and kind of, you know, be in the moment and see a different side of Cookeville that you might not see everywhere.
Exactly. Rent the, we have a raised VIP area. Rent the raised VIP area, sit up there and just watch people. That's what I do when the VIP's not been rented. And I'm not working. I literally just get up in the VIP and sit and people watch. I think I have more fun doing that than I would sitting at home, you know, 2 hours attached to TikTok watching people that I would never meet.
How has that changed for you owning a club and the hours that you have to partake in? You know, we were texting the other night and it was, I don't know, 9:30, and you're like, Friday night, and you're like, I'm about to go into work, and I was going to bed.
I have a really odd, because I mean, this is not only, I mean, my business is, my bar is a large majority, but I own an online cosmetic company that keeps me, Painted by Wendy Cosmetics, which keeps me busy. So I do all the shipping and the webs. I do everything. And then I'm also a commissioner for the election commission. So sleep, I just find it like I got home. We had, I worked Thursday night for bingo. Friday night, I worked at the bar. Saturday night, I worked at the bar. We had a drag brunch, which is very business oriented. It's all businesses. We have like different, like the realty firm and tattoo artist and real estate agents, and they come to the brunches. And then I got home and about 3 o'clock, and I sat down in the recliner, and I really felt my age at that point. And I went to sleep at 9:30 and woke up at 7 o'clock this morning. And my poor animals were looking at me like, I guess we're not going to eat. We can't go outside. And my body just finally said, you know, so I just find my sleep when I can find
it. Well, and I think I would think that is, like you said, you felt your age.
I did.
You know, you're not the 20-year-olds that can stay out until 6 o'clock in the morning. I mean, I feel that way too, where there's times where I will stay out after midnight and I'm like, what is going on?
That's why we have an early show. We used to, when I say, people say, well, when's your shows? And we say, and they used to be 11:15 and 1 a.m. And people be like, oh my God, I can't come out. So we started a 10:15 show, and that's probably one of our busiest shows, because we'll get people that normally can't come out. And then that's how the brunches unfolded. A larger group amount of companies messaged me and said, we would love to have things our business can do, but we can't be out at midnight. So we started the brunches, and that's how the brunches started.
We're old people now. Right. Let's have something for everyone. We'll be right back in a second.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson in Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Thanks for sticking with us. I'm Tiffany Anton from the Biz Foundry. I'm Wendy Williams, owner of Club Temptation Inn. So what was your vision like at 10 years old? What do you think were you, what were your plans career-wise? Did you think you'd own a business at any point?
Well, at 10 years old, this was before the internet and everything for me, because I'm 47. So the young generation was like, what? No internet? Yeah, it was not that long ago. So I grew up in Eastern Kentucky, and I was struggling with identity even at 10. I can remember struggling with my identity as far as like 7 or 8 years old. So at 10 years old, I can remember around that time, I wanted to be a lawyer. That was what I wanted to do, but I was also struggling with identity crisis. So most of my childhood was very awkward, because between trying to focus on my goals as, you know, most kids, you know, firemen or policemen or little boys, let's just say little boys, I didn't identify that way. So, you know, I was trying to, you know, I wanted to be a teacher or a lawyer. I'd always very gender neutral things. And then it kind of made sense once I got into college and then started performing as a, as an entertainer in bars at 2019, 2020, 2021. So it's been over 25 years. And then it just kind of got to where I am now.
Did you ever, like in high school, were you in plays? Did you find that passion for performing at that point, or?
Completely. I was shy, introverted. And that, again, had to do with not knowing, you know, not being feeling. I didn't feel comfortable with myself. So I was just more the class clown than I was, you know, throwing myself into things where people would notice me.
It is interesting when you ask somebody what they want to be at 10 years old. It's always, you know, it's not who they want to be as, you know, the who they want to be on the inside and who what they want to be as a person. It's always a career path. It's really interesting to me now thinking raising my kids. What do you want to be? And it's like no one takes I want to be a good person. I want to be kind. I want to make an impact. Nobody takes that as an answer. It's like, well, no, you got to pick a career.
And that's a narrative that I think most times in college, we talked about this a lot in identity classes and in our psychological classes, instead of, you know, presuming that kids want an occupation, let's just talk about what they want to be as a person, mm-hmm. a good person, you know, and I guess that comes in some moments of installing morals and stuff like that. And that's a whole nother conversation. But when you're struggling with your identity, not all have a tendency to, you know, not want to be seen. And that was definitely me. And I didn't bust out of that shell until I went into the bar for the very first time in Huntington, West Virginia, at a bar called The Driftwood, and saw people that were like me and saw entertainers on the stage, and it just clicked a bulb. And that was my outlet for Wendy. And then that helped me become who I was. And then I was driven then the business part of me kicked in, because once I was comfortable with myself, I was like, it's time to take over the world. So then I started getting into publicity and working in clubs and party promotion and events. And I've always been good with marketing, because I've always wanted, financially, it was not possible to hire someone else. So I just literally started doing it myself. And that's how I took over doing my publicity work.
In case you're just joining us, we have Wendy Williams, owner of Club Temptation, in today. How did you, so you mentioned you're 47, and you mentioned that when you were 10, there was no internet. So how have you kind of, are you self-taught in the marketing world? You know, you mentioned all these social medias and Snapchat, and I mean, I think there's a lot of people in their 40s that are like, oh, that's Snapchat, I can't, you know. So how have you kind of kept up with times?
Working in a bar with a bunch of kids, and it works every time, because I would have never got on TikTok. And then about 3 months ago, we're back in the dressing room and the kids are, you know, doing these. I'm like, what are y'all doing?
And by kids, you mean like people in their 20s?
Yeah, they're like 20s. To me, they're kids. Yeah. They're old enough to be my kids. And I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, oh, you need to do a TikTok. And I'm like, I'm too old to be doing that. And then like over the last 3 months, I think I'm close to like 3,000 followers on there. And it just kind of, it just kind of taken off, and now I'm media or social media is important, because it's important to my brand and my business.
Yeah. How do you deal with, so when you put yourself out there so much and you put yourself on social media, you open the door more to negative feedback. And as a business owner in general, it's hard not to take things that people are saying personally. And even if they are trying to attack you personally, how do you deal with that? How have you learned to not let it affect your business world?
Well, again, I'm being trans taking the bullies for business is the least of the things I've had to deal with growing up. So when you identify whether, you know, whatever your sexuality is or your gender, which are completely different, especially with your gender, when you start transitioning, you either get a thick skin or you become depressed. And I'm very stingy when it comes to my happiness. So I don't allow that to happen. So business is just like when I deal with that. What other people think of me is none of my business. So when it comes to my business, I'll take your concerns and your constructive criticism extremely important because I want my business to grow. But when it comes to things like, you know, that are you're making it personal or attacking the people in my business or the people that come to my business, I just take the road of thank you for your comments. They've, you know, I've listened and then I move on.
I think that I feel like I want to make a sign of my, I'm stingy with my happiness.
I am.
And so I think that that's, I think people don't often see they have the control to be stingy with their happiness and that they have that in their own power. And that when they decide to not be stingy with their happiness, they're giving control to other people.
Most definitely. I transitioned 20 something years ago. And when that happened and I finally was able for the people that I wanted to accept me, you know, you don't need everyone to accept you. And it's nice if they do, but if they don't, again, it's none of my business. Once the important people, my friends and my family accepted me and I accepted who I was becoming, I became very protective of my happiness. And I mean, it hurts like anyone else if someone says something. Get it, you know, I get that. But I mean, at my age, I tried to talk to the younger generation in the bar that I'm mentoring at the bar when it comes to business, especially about business, the separation of social media, what you control in your business, and separating it from your personal life. It's extremely happy to be successful in a business if you're able to part those two. Otherwise, you're going to be constantly beating yourself up trying to make other people happy, and that's bad for business.
And I want to just, I mean, I want people to hear what you're saying for any population, because I think
anyone
that being stingy with your happiness, and as you kind of grow into who you are as a person, no matter what walk of life you're coming from, some people are not going to accept who you become. I went through a divorce in the past couple of years, and I've changed tremendously. And there are people that don't necessarily want to see the new light of who I am now. And I think that that's so important. I think I just really want people hearing what you're saying right now as across the board. Business ownership is hard, and it's hard not to take things personally. And like you said, at 47, you're like, well, you know, if you don't like
and
me,
then add
like
a
me.
Pandemic into it, and it
yes.
just all becomes even worse.
We're going to talk about the pandemic and how you handled that in a second. Thanks for sticking with us. I am Tiffany Anton from The Biz Foundry. I have Wendy Williams, owner of Club Temptation, in today. So you just mentioned the pandemic. So owning a business that the whole point is to be social and to come together, that had have been a bit stressful in the past year and a half.
The pandemic changed, I think, it for every business owner. Mm-hmm. It made us, I think, when I say this, people, let's not talk about people dying and everything. That's horrible and everything. Mm-hmm. But owning a business, the pandemic either made you extremely better and harder working, mm-hmm. or you just couldn't do it. So I had sold the business. It was called The Roadhouse for years. I owned it for the first 3 years. I sold it and was living a very nice, comfortable life, gaining weight and working on my makeup business and just enjoying life. It didn't work out for those individuals after 2 months. And I feel an importance that the bar needed to continue. And like an idiot, I rebought it and took it back over.
What year did, so when was this that you rebought?
4 months before the pandemic. So then the pandemic hits.
So late 2019, you
yes.
rebuy a bar.
That I had since 2016.
Yes.
And then the tornado hit first, mm-hmm. and hit my building, mm-hmm. And destroyed the building behind me. So we had minimal damage. And I was just like, okay, and we were closed. And then the pandemic hit, and we were closed from March until June. And I was very lucky that here in Cookeville that we were given the opportunity to make a choice whether or not we wanted to be open or not. And that's another whole discussion. I chose to keep open because I needed the income to keep the building open. At this time, I was leasing the business. So we reopened in June. Business was, sadly to say, extremely good June, July, and August because we were the only bar open and that was following strict guidelines. 6 feet apart, gloves, sanitizer. I mean, I was doing everything that I could for people to make a choice whether or not they wanted to come. Fast forward, the owner of the building decides that he wants out of it, that he no longer wants to own the building. He's going to put it for sale. And everyone that looked at it was like, we don't want to have a bar here. We don't have a bar. So I was forced into buying the building because I was going to lose something that I had worked on for 5 years.
So what I mean, and that's a whole different thing of yeah. owning a building and being your own landlord and stuff.
And then we slow down again.
Yeah.
So it has been a struggle. I feel like a roller coaster. It's a roller coaster. But that's what owning a business is. You're going to have amazing months and then you're going to have horrible months. And you have to literally, like a chameleon, figure out. And that's how social media changed. Eventbrite and doing things and sadly having to raise prices and making choices for my business to succeed. Now, things have been slow the last couple of months and have been quite rough, but you know,
have you seen that in the past? I mean, 2020 was a weird year, but in the past, the trends of the years, how is your holiday season usually? Is that usually a bigger time that people want to get out and just let loose, or
December's slower for us just mm-hmm. because it's the holiday year. I mean, mm-hmm. my business is up 33% from last year. And when I say that, people are like, oh, that's amazing. But we were also shut down for 4 months. So yeah. it's kind of hard to judge. You know, now next year we'll see. I always say this. I am blessed that people choose to spend their money at my bar. I'm very blessed that individuals, I'm able to employ people and they have money and stuff. Yeah, there are times when I go home that I literally like, you know, how much longer can I do this? But at this point, my savings is in a building sitting there and I have no choice. I can't lose the building. I now own it. So mm-hmm. that's my retirement sitting there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like I said, that's a different genre of owning something as opposed to just, okay, I'm going to run this business. Now you have to worry yeah. about what goes on in that building as well and make sure that there's
all the time
coming in. So you also mentioned that you are a Putnam County Elections Commissioner. So not being from here, what made you kind of like, okay, let me get involved in the community and join up?
I did it for this reason. So first of all, the Putnam County Election Commission, there's five. There's three Republicans and two Democrats because the Republicans hold the majority in Tennessee. And we are in charge of making sure that all the election processes run smoothly, that all the laws are done, you know, redistricting, everything, the lines that that's what we do. We meet once a month. And if you follow me on Facebook, Wendy McCowan, McCowan-Williams, you can see I advertise when we have those meetings. They're open to the public and I encourage everyone to come in. I did it because we didn't have a huge LGBT representation here in Putnam County that were visible. And when you own a business and I deal with so many people from different spectrums, people are just like, oh, you know what? I think once people meet me and talk to me, their perception of everything else that they have from a Jerry Springer episode falls out. You know, it's just, I'm just this average 47-year-old who has way too many things, you know, going on in my life. And I'm just trying to, you know, do it alone. Mm-hmm. And I did it because I wanted to have representation. And I think that part of being an American is being involved in your political system in some way, whether it's just voting or whatever it is. And this was an opportunity to just do so. And I stepped up and here we are.
Do you feel weight of being a mentor or an example in this community?
I do, because anyone that knows my past knows that I've made questionable decisions, but I did those in order to survive. And I have a book coming out at some point, hopefully the end of next year, and I talk about those chapters of my lives. And I always tell people, I'm just here to tell people about my life. And whether you're straight, gay, bi, and or other, if you can find any part of that and use it in your own recipe of life, then again, you're making yourself happier. And I think you can find parts in anyone's life that are interesting. Mentoring, I can just guide the younger generation down a path that maybe I wouldn't have chosen. But in honesty, a lot of my mistakes in life put me on paths to things that were for the better. And I think sometimes when you fall, the cliche of getting back up, it really is true. And and at 47, I have fallen many times and probably will many more times. That's just what being human is, I think.
What do you see for, first of all, Club Temptation, what do you see for the 5-10-year plan for the club?
Well, if I'm still able to be walk, because I feel like every morning when I wake up, there's a new pain or ache. If I'm still able, I would love to see the business continuing to go on as for whatever it's meant to be and continue being a safe haven for young individuals to meet people like them and understand that there's people like them out there. And then also for people that don't identify under the umbrella to come out and meet people that are not like them and see that we're really all just alike. We just all identify a little bit differently. If it can continue being that place, then I'll continue doing it. And then if not, then hopefully the building will sell at some point many years down the road. And then I can retire where I don't have to worry about, you know, being up at 4 a.m. to party with 20-year-olds.
Do you think that, do you see yourself retiring in a bigger area? I mean, I think that the LGBT community seems, it seems like it would be harder in a smaller town.
Yeah, but I mean, but my life as a trans woman doesn't necessarily, it's not around that community. I mean, in all honesty, I'm probably, you know, that's my work, and I only see, you know, the members of my community when I'm at work. And I mean, you don't even know anymore. I mean, it's just so hard to do that. I love Cookeville. When I first moved here, I questioned it multiple times. But honestly, the community has accepted me and embraced my work and my business and have been really nice. So, maybe moving further out into a farm somewhere where I'm away from people and just enjoying retirement would be nice. But again, like I said earlier in the earlier part of the interview, I'm a gypsy and I get very bored easily. It's the reason why I'm single and no kids, because I enjoy that freedom to be able to pack up and go when I want to. But at some point, when do you have to, you know, continue to let your roots grow? And maybe that's here in Cookeville, you know, with another business. Who knows?
Yeah. So how can people find more information about Club Temptation? Where can they look?
Perfect. We are everywhere. If you go to temptationbar.com, just click on social media at the top. It'll take you to our Facebook, our Instagram, our Twitter, and our TikTok page. And then you can follow there. And then anything for me is just Wendy McCowan, MCCOWN-Williams for Facebook, and then TS Wendy Williams on Instagram.
Okay, so they can find you directly there. Mm-hmm. What would you, we've kind of talked about this, but what one single thing do you want the community to know about Club Temptation? If you can just, you know, this is your 1 minute.
This would be amazing. So I would say take everything that you have a preconceived conception of, and throw it out the window. Just throw it out the window. Mm-hmm. Stop listening to the far right or the far left. Throw all that out and just have an open mind when you walk through the doors. It's nothing like people think. It's actually, go to Revolver, add the age a little bit, and then throw some drag queens on stage. That's all you're doing with any bar. You're just rotating what's going on. The difference is we don't take things serious. We're just there to have a good time.
Well, and there's an entertainment value to this, where a lot of the other clubs in town, there's maybe live music.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We just had the Smoky Mountains on Friday night at our bar.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Well, and I don't know that there's other places that have a lot of other entertainment elements aside from live music.
And that's the reason why we have a variety. We have, you know, if you're older and you want to grab your coworkers and ladies want to come out and have a brunch, then grab your champagne, make your brunch ticket reservations. You know, we just had yesterday was our pajama brunch. We have something for everyone there, and just have a good time. It really is a fun country bar with a twist.
What, real quick before we wrap up, tell us about your New Year's party.
The New Year's party, tickets are on sale at Eventbrite. You can go to temptationbar.com, click events. We have a champagne toast at midnight. We have a drag show. We have all kinds of fun things. It's actually a big party.
How much are the tickets for that?
go to Eventbrite. I cannot remember. I think they're 15.
That's a great deal. Okay.
Yeah, I don't overcharge here.
Okay. So go, if you don't have any plans for your New Year's, go to clubtemptation.com. Find out all the events coming up and all the details. Thank you, Wendy, for coming in this morning.
Thank you.